So, Two Peas in a Podcast 2023. We've been doing this for about 5 years now, Trevor, I think. So, Happy New Year.
I'm not even that old.
Nisha said it would never last long. Look what we're doing. So, 2023. 2022 was a bit interesting. I went to a meditation class this morning. Beautiful class. And the woman said, now think about 2022. And I thought, I don't know that an anxiety attack in the middle of meditation is a great idea.
Yeah.
But it was a funny old year. Now, you've dodged COVID. You were like my mum and dad. There were few people who've dodged COVID. But... yeah, it was a bit of
You're a bloody hard worker, aren't you?
I am a hard worker. So, Trevor, this year you had your weeds went well. You know, what do they say about weeds? They're just plants that haven't got a use yet.
Well, actually, they were very good with the peas. If you get weeds around your peas, just leave them there, because the peas and is supplying its own nutrition, and the weeds really reinforce what is a weak root system. So the weeds did well around the peas, which is completely against what everyone else says, but it's what happened. But I had beautiful carrots from the winter. I had radishes, potatoes, asparagus, herbs and strawberries. So that wasn't bad, but the whole garden is sort of coming on now. But you can see.
Oh, yeah, I'm finding that. I know, they look great. No, I'm finding that a bit too. I was a bit annoyed because I wanted to have tomatoes. I actually had to buy some tomatoes for the recipe I needed on Christmas Day, and I was a little bit like, well, that's unusual. Normally I'd have some.
So would I, but it's cold. It was very cold in November.
And I had two lots of nettle. So normally around about October, like I use a lot of stinging nettle. Then around October I go, okay, we're getting rid of all the stinging nettle. I soak it in water and then I use that soaked water for the garden. And I'd kind of done that and I ended up with a second round. I have never ended up with a second round. Normally I won't get it again until the next season. So things are playing funny.
Yeah.
However, the zucchinis, Trevor, nothing destroys a zucchini, does it? For a little joke, I gave a friend of ours a zucchini wrapped up in cellophane as a bonbon, and the poor thing thought I was giving him a bottle of Champers and unwrapped the world's most, well, it wasn't the world's most enormous zucchini, but that...
Yeah, I mean, I had a massive sunflower and I donated it to the chooks and they got rid of it in a day.
Yeah.
So I got one or two things. I got a melon out there that grew on its own and it's growing great guns. So I was a bit late generally because of the weeds.
Yeah.
And I am still a bit late generally because of the weeds. But I feel as though I've finally beaten the weeds.
Yeah.
And I'm moving into stage two, which is the plants are mature, you weed them, you prune them, you sort of fix them up and then you fertilise them with liquid fertiliser and you mulch them with something. So that's a sort of... Once they get established and you know they're growing, you come back and you give them the second bit of attention, which means you actually dig them out of the grass and they show up again and suddenly they're getting sun. And so that's the stage I'm at now. It feels more like gardening than the first stage, which felt more like fighting, you know.
I felt like I fought my gun. To be honest, though, this year I have had a few bouts of not being well when I've had holidays, which is a bit of a bummer because normally that's when I quickly go out there and attempt to wrestle my garden into shape. But yeah, I felt a little bit the same too, and certainly unfortunately a fox got into my chook shed. So that whole chook shed area is at the moment so out of control, and you don't appreciate how much they keep the weeds down in a spot until they're not there.
Yeah, no, it's hard work. So I mean, I can only sympathize with you. I've got one or two patches and others growing again, but yeah, it's, you know, I still like gardening. I went out and saw Terry Lisa's dad, and he's putting in a bigger garden than me. So that's...
Oh, wow.
Because, I mean, it is a matter of size. The size I've got is quite substantial. You know, it's 400 square metres or something, varying, you know, fluctuations of rotating chooks and various areas so that I can have trellises each year for tomato rotation and stuff. But he's done a circle. He's done the eye of Australia. You know how you have a fire pit in the middle and then you have a path around it.
Oh, fantastic.
And then you have a circular bed around that and another path.
Oh, my God, fantastic.
So, I don't know. He's got the same problem as us. So, I think, you know, gardeners are when they're young, they're ambitious, but they forget they're getting old.
Yeah, like, I feel a little bit like that. I'm not going to lie. I redid my Frog Pond this week because I just hadn't got to it after the fire, which was, it was really sad because the ash kind of landed and my frogs disappeared, which was awful. And I just, yeah. I think I hadn't cleaned it out properly. So I cleaned it out and I put all, you know, filled it all up and immediately, and I'm carrying these rocks, right? And I get this idea. I think, oh, I'm going to make it look a little bit different. I'm going to put rocks and build up the rocks, and went and got some indigenous grasses because I'm just a bit in love with indigenous grasses at the moment. But I did notice, Trevor, that as I was carrying one rock and went to pick up another rock, which I could quite easily have carried 5 years ago, I had to make two trips. Mm-hmm. And I thought, now I'm not particularly old, but I just thought, oh my God, yes, you do suddenly go, you know what, I've had a lot of fun moving the garden around over the last few years, but now I need to actually start making some decisions around what am I going to leave and what am I going to just leave so I can maintain it. Because, yeah, you're right. You do end up kind of going...
I think I'm in that situation too, and it revives a lot of things. I mean, I like your talk about the pond. I kept my water in my water bowls all this time, and I got to say, I'm getting lizards as well as birds and stuff
gorgeous,
like that. So
fantastic,
things are happening well that way.
And your bees and stuff. Now, so Christmas time, though. Now, we had the quiz night, which was hugely successful.
Yeah.
And you donated a whole bunch of plants, which people hurt each other in an attempt to get. Like, what a great gift. So garden, presents from the garden. Like, I remember it was very traditional whenever we went anywhere as a kid. Mum would say, you know, go and pick a bunch of flowers. And you took a bunch of flowers.
True.
You just did that. And we'd love it, you know. And I think those lovely... We've got a friend who's got a hive, you know. And there's nothing more exciting than getting a jar of honey. Yeah, beehive, sorry.
Not a skin hive.
He's not. He hasn't got an allergic reaction to something. And we forget that the garden is actually this place where we can give lots of great gifts.
Yeah. I mean, I think you are pointing out something in that... We can almost be addicted to gardening because it does so many different things.
Yeah, it does.
You know? And we're also both of us thinking, and I think the whole world is changing to the way of thinking of food as medicine.
Yes.
I think in the back of everyone's mind is that they don't want their kids to be unhealthy and they don't want to be unhealthy themselves. And therefore, they're looking at the garden really as an essential part of life because it gives them health. And they're quite right, I think, because it gives them mental health and it gives them physical health. And it is very interesting, the number of plants that we've talked about in the past, that if you put them all together, they'd come in as a bit of, what's it called, therapy. That they're all medicinal in some
absolutely,
way.
Absolutely, absolutely. Like the garden... I mean, obviously, we're saying you need to be really careful before you choose to use your plants as medicine. But I know certainly growing up, fennel.
Yes.
Right? I remember my Olpa used to say fennel for the kennel. So he would chop the top of the fennel leaves, you know, the flowers.
Yeah.
He'd steep it and he'd rinse the animals with it to get rid of fleas.
Right.
And I don't know, they particularly thought it was a great medicinal thing. And he would chop up the fennel leaves and the stalks and mix them with the straw in the chook shed.
Yep.
And that's just how we grew up, fennel for the kennel.
Yep.
And you got chamomile. Like
well,
we were sort of
lawn for your cup of tea. It's lovely.
Absolutely. And making sure. So I always think it's really interesting because there's all so many teas out there now. So many teas. You get this dried tea thing.
Okay.
And I think chamomile is so easy to grow.
Yeah.
1,000 times nicer than the dried stuff. And you go out there, you pick 10 little chamomile flowers, handful of mint, handful of lemon balm.
Beautiful.
And there's your, you know, it's completely soporific. You have that before bedtime.
Yeah.
And you don't need your, all your stuff.
Yeah, I mean, you just killed stress and you just killed sleeping apnea. So in one stroke, you've just knocked those two things
and
on the head.
And you've gone into the garden to pick it. So there's your mental health as well. Oh, look at me making a cup of tea to help me sleep. But I grew that. So that I think part of that is that mental connection, that emotional connection.
Yeah,
to what you're doing.
I think too, and it's the self-confidence as well, because, I mean, if you ask what are my best Christmas snacks...
Oh, what are your best Christmas snacks?
I would say a bowl of strawberries, homegrown.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, you just stuff them in, and they're not overly sweet, they're not overly sour, they've got good taste, and I think they're a boost to your... antioxidants.
Absolutely.
And the same with a bowl of used spuds.
Yeah.
And a bowl of pesto, you know, and an open sandwich with tomatoes, chicken and sprouts. And I made French toast with my eggs and bread this morning, and it was great.
See, I might have to do that tomorrow morning, Trevor.
Well, I was going to put you under the pump.
All right.
I know that...
it's like the quiz night all over again, Trevor.
It is quiz night, yeah. So if I mention a herb, and these are ones you know, because I know them, and if I know them, you definitely know
them. Love your confidence in me, Trevor.
Do you know horehound?
Oh, I've heard of it, but I don't know heaps about it.
It's a weed around these places. I can show it to you. It's an ugly-looking weed, but it's good for the coughs. You failed that one.
Oh, sorry.
What about lemon balm?
Lemon balm. Lemon balm. I've got lemon balm. Lemon balm is wonderful. It's another one for sleep. Yeah. Fantastic. Steep that. It's also a lovely cordial, like lemon verbena. It can make a nice cordial. So it's sweet for the kids, but not... off the planet. Oh,
kind of beautiful smell. I think the smelling makes you feel better.
No, that's true. It's true. No, I love lemon balm tea.
It's very easy to grow. It could almost be a weed, couldn't it?
Yeah.
All right, well, you win that one.
Thank you.
What about sage? Do you use sage?
A lot of people don't like sage. I love sage. I love sage with potato. If you've got a sore throat, now it won't cure COVID, but it will help your sore throat. Steep the sage in some boiling water, wait for it to cool down, don't throw it down the back of your throat, and gargle with it. Fantastic. Brilliant.
Yeah, well, I put sage, that's I got a group of herbs that just always grow, and that's either sage, marjoram, oregano, thyme. Yeah. And I think if you can fit them into anything, and if you can fit them into a meat meal, actually.
Yeah, sage is meant to cut the fattiness of meat, isn't it?
Well, yeah, it does so much, you know. Does so much, and I'm not really sure what it is, but I do think you're getting an overpowering number of antioxidants that other people are searching around for. Now, I went to, with some Indian friends of ours, I went to the, not Salisbury, but Virginia Nursery. You know,
that nursery. It's gorgeous.
And they've got about half a dozen different types of basil.
Yeah, they're really lovely nursery, actually. Great cafe, good coffee.
You've got to sit down. You're not supposed to be sitting down. But there was one there called Thai basil. I'm not sure whether that's holy basil or not.
Trish grows Thai basil.
Right.
Very nice. But it's a very different taste. Like, I wouldn't make pesto out of it, but I'd chuck it through like a soup or get your vegetables with your coconut and then sort of put the basil through that. And it's got the most beautiful flavour.
Okay. Well, I call that a win.
I call that win. All right.
What about echinacea? Because I've planted the seed of echinacea.
And I haven't had huge success with echinacea.
But your bloke, Peter Udoff, he grows it as a landscaping plant, as a perennial.
It's gorgeous because it's absolutely beautiful. But it's brilliant for colds.
Yeah, apparently.
Yeah, it's supposed to be the best thing if you've got a cold.
Yeah, so you use the root?
I think so, yeah.
I think you do.
Yeah.
Now, some of these you talked about chamomile pretty well, but what about feverfew? Do you know it?
Feverfew. Now, isn't feverfew meant to be? No, that's not the arthritis one. What's the arthritis one? Mongwort.
I don't know.
Pennywort. Pennywort's the arthritis one. Feverfew, I reckon that is also if you've got a cold, if you've got a fever.
Mm-hmm. Yes, well, that is pretty sensible of you to. But apparently, feverfew gets rid of headaches too.
Oh, which you would have if you had a cold, see?
Yeah. So the trouble is, we're going to go on looking these up forever, aren't we?
We are, but they're good ones. You know what I think is another interesting one? I love, because I love reading, you know, old books, and you sort of hear about all the people who, you know, were considered the old herbalists. And you get comfrey, and comfrey's meant to, if you make a poultice of comfrey, it is meant to fix a broken arm. Now, I feel that is not. That is perhaps one of those ones where we won't go there. But what I have done with comfrey is you make a poultice, and if you've got a bit of a bruise, it will draw the bruise out, and so will arnica.
Yeah.
Yeah, but if you've got a broken arm, please Please go to the doctor. Don't whack it around with some comfrey. That will be very unsuccessful.
Did you say comfrey or borage? Comfrey.
Comfrey,
okay.
Yeah. Borage. Borage is another great one. The What's flowers, that? Borage.
You eat flowers, don't you?
Yep, I eat the borage flowers, yeah.
Do you cook with them or just put them on
the
salad?
No, just put them in the salad because it looks pretty. Uh-huh. That with nasturtium and a big green salad, gorgeous.
Okay, I'm just looking up. Stinging nettle here.
Ah, see now, stinging nettle, elixir of the gods, okay? So I, with my stinging nettle, I absolutely love, love, love stinging nettle. So what I do is I steep it and then make a tincture and sip it during the day.
Yeah.
And that's great for colds.
Yeah,
the poultice is really good if you've got a wound, like you make the mush of it. That's another one if you've got a bit of a sore. But once again, please don't try and fix a broken leg with it.
No, well, in fact, it says even more here.
Brilliant for the garden. Brilliant for the garden, although...
The Garden Apothecary by Christine Iverson. It says that it helps with arthritis and rheumatism.
Yeah, it's an amazing anti-inflammatory.
That would make it very important, wouldn't it, really?
Absolutely. And what I do is I use it. So if I'm making anything where I would do a cooked green, obviously you can't have it raw,
yeah.
A cooked green,
yeah.
I will put in a handful of the young leaves. It's really important you pick the young leaves. So, although I remember one time for work we all had to bring soup and I thought, I'm going to bring potato and stinging nettle soup. Well, it was delicious. However, there was quite a degree of flatulence amongst the staff that evening. And the next day they were like, oh, Michelle, the soup was great, but nobody at home enjoyed the after effects. However, it sort of just goes to show what your system's used to sort of thing. But I think stinging nettle soup, I actually made Indian spinach. It was so easy. You know, onion, your coriander, cumin, turmeric, curry, turmeric, saute that. Handful of spinach, and now this, and obviously this is not Indian, but a handful of the stinging nettle, high in iron, unbelievably high in iron. And also stinging nettle gets used for colouring wool, so it's actually used to colour clothing and things like that.
It does too, yeah.
Yeah.
Number of uses, good here, they're saying insomnia.
Insomnia, yeah. I always have a good sleep after doing that.
And you're right about the iron too.
Yeah, very, very high in iron.
So nettle, which is common, is a really good one, isn't it?
It is. And just, you've got to pick it young though. Don't let it go berserk in the garden. Get the big thick roots. That's the only thing. You do have to keep it.
Well, I mean, another really common one is lavender, and it's supposed to be good for relaxation.
Brilliant. Lavender. My daughter-in-law told me once, Mum, get lavender and rosemary, steep it for a tea,
steep it in boiling water.
Boiling water, yeah, sorry. A little bit of honey,
yeah.
Right, to help you sleep, because I was having trouble sleep. Honestly, it was amazing. It was fantastic. Right. So I think I probably put about, say, 5 heads of the lavender to a good sprig of rosemary.
The flowers or not?
Yeah, absolutely, the flowers. Good sprig of rosemary. You know, in the old days, they would cut the lavender, but they still do it now. Tie it, double it back on itself, hang it in the cupboard to get rid of moths and things, put it under your pillow. You know what? I'm amazed there are not more people sleeping in the garden. When you think a lot of these things are, I just realised we've got the lemon balm that helps you sleep and the lavender that helps you. I'm surprised there aren't a whole bunch of gardeners just lying under bushes.
I think in our parents' time, a lot more people had lavender in their pillows. For the smell of it.
Yeah, it's lovely. And it's lovely if you've got a baby that won't sleep, don't smother them with the lavender bush because that's not okay. But certainly you can put a couple of drops of lavender on their pillow very carefully kind of thing. But make sure it's proper stuff because a lot of that synthetic stuff is mixed with things. One of the things I do as well is another thing I absolutely love and is peppermint, but I put the peppermint, I boil it, or mint, get all my mints or whatever, boil it, and then use it when I'm cleaning. So you get the water, and you put it in, say, your mop bucket, and you're mopping the floor, and that's like a bit of an antiseptic, but it's also a de-stressor. So you're kind of mopping the floor, that beautiful smell of the mint, beautiful smell of the peppermint, and everyone comes home and says, wow, you mopped the floor. It's not that they can see that it's been mopped, but they can smell. And putting things in an oil base, so a coconut base. So I've made
peppermint
oil. No, I've made peppermint oil and then I put the coconut base, and then you might use that and put that like on your wrists and stuff like that. Lavender and coconut base. That's very
interesting because we'll have to talk about tinctures and all that sort of thing.
Yeah, I think we're going to have to, Trevor. I think we've just opened a whole new... We've opened a door. It's not closable now, which is great.
And I also think we're not the only ones onto it. I think that just about every woman and her child are interested in the subject.
What's the parsley? I know Greek people eat parsley.
Yeah, portulaca.
Yeah, and we don't eat it. And then, you know, it's this weed, but Greek people say, no, you've got to eat it. It makes you strong. So I imagine it's got this huge amount of iron and a huge amount. And a friend of mine who has MS was actually recommended eat more parsley. So it must be good for the nervous system.
Well, there's yarrow and there's lovage and there's a whole host. There's the one that's celeriac and... You know, and we didn't really study borage much, but...
No, we will.
I do think that what we've been talking about, how the garden is really there for the ecosystem, not for ourselves. It's really there to save the world.
Absolutely. But if we save ourselves a little bit in the meantime, that would help.
It might give us a bit of help.
So I guess...
And when you think about it, there was a time when there were no other medicines.
No. No, and like we said, don't try and fix a broken bone with comfrey. However, don't underestimate the power that a lot of our herbs in particular have.
Yeah, and also I think generally fresh garden produce is probably just the whole lot of it is probably streaming with like a rainbow of various cures and, you know, okay, they've probably got toxins as well, but they've probably got all these goodnesses and all these properties.
Well, I mean, our First Nations people, their plants are all about.
True.
Their plants are all about. They have medicinal quality, they have a food quality, and they have an ecosystem quality. Mm. So maybe next month in February... We will talk a little bit more about what we put in the garden. What do you reckon?
Well, I think people need to know more about how to grow them.
Yeah.
And they need to know how to convert them into these various ointments and salves and things like that, because I don't know.
Oh, I do. You know, right. I do. I remember, I will tell you a lovely story that my mother talked about when she was growing up, being one of six blonde Dutch girls, my Olma using chamomile.
Yeah.
Boiling the chamomile water, straining it, and rinsing their hair.
To make them blonde.
To make blonde shine. And our lovely friend Leah, her mum used to do that with rosemary because all her sisters were dark.
Yeah.
So those sorts of rinses. So, yeah, we'll talk a little bit more about that. And calendula. Let's talk about calendula next time because that is an amazing, as Trevor said, typhoid. Stops typhoid in its tracks.
Well, I'm also amazed at nettle with rheumatoid arthritis.
Oh, nettle is so amazing.
To see if you put someone suffering on a 3 month sort of diet of that stuff. You've got to be careful with all this because we do the usual thing of disclaimer.
Oh, yeah. Please don't give up any medical stuff. But these things are meant to support. I mean, I remember having swine flu many years ago and being desperately ill and kind of ringing the naturopath, and she said, I can't stop the swine flu, but what I can do is help you build up your immune system. And so the doctor was amazed by how quickly I recovered, and I think that's the stuff that a lot of this herbal stuff is around. How are you recovering? And then we can talk about aloe vera. Everybody needs an aloe vera.
Because it's sort of funny in that one's changed from being a villain to being a hero.
I know, because it is a hero. And we're not asking you to run out and grow it. Please don't say two peas in a podcast said to illegally grow marijuana.
No, but it is symptomatic of how the thinking's changed.
Yeah, it is symptomatic of how the thinking has changed. Well, I think we've got a few things to talk about next month, Trevor.
Well, forever maybe.
Forever maybe. We're not going anywhere. All right, so 2023, it is going to be wonderful. So thank you, Trevor.
Thank you, Michelle.